The morning routine. The morning routine in your house is really important to the development of your children, especially when the kids are school age, because then the morning routine, that is what happens between wake-up time, let's say 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning, till the time they leave for school, let's say 8 o'clock or 8:30, that period of time becomes a significant part of quality time for the kids, because this is the time when they spend with you. And the rest of the day, they spend apart from you in their school, and you may be spending apart from them as you go off to work. The other quality time period of day for parenting is the after-school hours, when everybody comes home, tired, grumpy, and ready to face the evening routine, which consists of homework, chores, dinner, bath time, bedtime, all that stuff. So you can see that it's very important to use these little chunks of at-home time, not just to get the things done that need to be done, but to actually raise your kids. You want to parent consciously during these time periods. And we're going to look at the morning routine today. Maybe we'll look at that after-school routine another time. But in the morning time, you are really setting the tone for your child's day. Like if somebody was taking a peek through your window in your house, what would they see in the morning times on average? Would it be a pleasant, loving, ticklish little scene there with people laughing and, you know, communicating nicely? Would it be warm, slow moving, relaxed? Or would it be hectic and would it be irritable? It doesn't have to be either or. Maybe there's a little mixture of everything going on there, right? But in some morning routines, there's a lot of fighting, conflict, arguments, battles, and really unpleasant emotions. And it's not unusual for a parent to find themselves shaking by the time the kids have got out the door. And of course, this depends on who we're talking about in terms of kids. If you have one little baby at home, then your morning routine is going to be very different than if you have three or four or five or more kids to get ready for school in the morning. So the demands on the parent can vary quite a lot. The more children there are, the more issues there will definitely be. But there is a deadline to the morning routine. There's a certain time when people have to leave the house to get to school on time. And because of that deadline, there is an inherent sense of pressure. So it is a challenge, because any time a person is working against a deadline, there can be increased irritability, a sense of frantic panic, and all kinds of things going on that could make this thing going on at home rather unpleasant, right? It's supposed to be a pleasant time. We said it sets the tone, but because of that time pressure, it could become unpleasant. We want to be aware of that, because we send our children out the door and into their day with the feeling of that morning time embedded in their cells, right? Was it comforting? Was it loving? Was it warm? Or was it just awful? And, you know, we want to make sure that the last look they see on your face as they leave the door is smiling, waving, happy, loving look that sends them out with courage into their world, and not a totally fed up, disgusted, like, you know, get going already kind of look that really sends them with a really bad feeling to start that day. Now, in the morning, you're not only getting them out the door, but you are teaching them such important life skills. For example, you are teaching them how to manage time through your model and through your instructions to them. In your own model, are you getting out of bed in time to do everything you need to do for the morning routine? Or are you climbing out at the last minute and then rushing around like a mad person trying to get everything done? So, you know, perhaps by the way you plan your own evening the night before, and the time you set your alarm for in the morning, and how you pace yourself, you are able to show your children, here's how it's done. Here's how a person can have time to do everything they want to do in the morning and to do it in a fairly relaxed and human form, right? As opposed to being a maniac who's running around cursing under her breath and mumbling nasty things and slamming doors and tripping all over her feet and all that stuff because he or she did not allow enough time. And then, of course, you want to help your children figure out what they need to do the night before and what time they have to set their alarm clocks for and so on in order to attain that same equilibrium in the morning. But because there is that deadline we mentioned before, there is a certain amount of built-in stress. Anytime there is a deadline, there's a certain amount of stress. So you are also showing your kids how you handle stress. When you are feeling like, okay, we have to get out by a certain time here, maybe you have to leave, maybe they have to leave, how do we handle that time pressure? Do we just fall apart under stress? Do we lose our cool because of the stress and that time pressure? Or do we show respect for ourselves, first of all, and show respect for everybody in the household, even though there is a time pressure? So that's your model about when I'm feeling rushed and pressured, harried, and whatever it is, can I still be nice? And hopefully you want to teach your kids that no matter what's going on with them, no matter how much stress and pressure they are experiencing, they can still be nice. And the reason you want to teach them that is because as they grow up and get into adulthood, they will find an unending source of stress, right? It's the bills, it's the kids, it's the relatives, it's the everything coming at them all the time. And if a person uses the stress excuse for why they aren't nice, right? Well, first of all, they'll never be nice because there's always something going on. And their relationships will be harmed. So all of us have to know, okay, I am feeling stress and pressure, but that is not an excuse for my abuse, right? For me to become not nice now and to be rough on you just because I'm feeling that morning rush. So you'll be modeling that for them. And not only will you be showing them how to manage time and model stress management, but you will also be showing them how to convey love. Because in that morning time, we said that's a quality parenting time. The rest of the day, they're gone. So when are you going to show them this love? Okay, we said you have another time when they come home. A lot of people don't show their kids love till they tuck them into bed at night. Everything before that was a bunch of screaming and ranting and raving. So I don't think that works too well. I think we have to show the love in the moments that we have together. And if 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning is the moments you have together, then that is going to be the time when you want to show your kids that you love them. And how do you make people know that you love them? Well, you do treat them nicely, and you joke around with them, and you tell them they're lovable and cute and that you love them. You give them praise and encouragement and treats. Oh, look what I made for your breakfast, your favorite, and you're just upbeat and generally loving, right? That's how your kids know that you love them, because you act in those warm, loving ways. And the time of day that you have to do that is in the morning, that whatever it is, 7 a.m. or 6:30, whenever that morning starts in your household. Now, a lot of people will have no trouble doing this with their one little, child at home, a little two-year-old who wakes up in the morning and it's all lovey-dovey time. The challenge is with the school-age kids, the ones who have to be out at a certain time, even if it's to nursery school, where the pressure is on, the heat is on, and that's where we stop showing that love and we get very focused on the task at hand, where we think the task is to get the kid out the door. But you need to reframe that task and understand that, no, that's not the task at all. I mean, the kid will get out the door, probably, but the real task is showing the child what it's like to be a human being, how to be polite, respectful, loving, patient, organized, and all those things, prompt. That's really what's going on in the morning. And you can't do that while you're yelling, shouting, nagging, harassing, and all that stuff. You will be showing them how to be a human being, but not necessarily the kind that you wanted to show them. Now, let's look at some of the morning challengers, that is, the kinds of children who present specific challenges to the parent in the morning, and we'll also look at some of the solutions that we can use with these kids. To begin with, there are the dawdlers. Dawdlers are very slow-moving children who can just drive their parents insane because there is a deadline, as we keep mentioning, and these kids don't seem to care much about that. You know, slowly take the pajamas off, slowly get the clothes on, brush the hair. You probably can't even stand listening to me say this, right? And the clock is ticking and things have to be done, and some of these kids are slowly eating their breakfast. And they're just very in their own little world, and they're not very time conscious. Now, the challenge here is not to nag them, right? Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, come on, we've got to move, come on, stop dawdling, hurry up, move on, oh, you're such a slowpoke. There's a couple of challenges there. One, do not use the labels slowpoke or dawdler, because labels help to organize a child's self-concept, and we don't want the child organizing her self-concept around being such a slowpoke or a dawdler, right? We want the kid to think that she can move quickly. So do not use those labels, and do not nag. Now, we said nagging, what nagging is actually, is repetitive request. So just, you know, asking over and over, come on, move it, move it, move it, move it. This sort of thing is irritating to listen to. It's not pleasant. And it just makes the morning more tense and more annoying. And plus, the dawdler will not respond to that. The dawdler doesn't move because the parent nags. So we have to find something that will work a little bit better. And that can be the clear method: comment, label, and reward. Now, the clear method can be used when the dawdler is moving at somewhat of a normal pace, which the dawdler does, right? Does dawdle every single moment. So when the child is doing something a little faster than before or a little bit more at a normal pace, the parent can comment then with a positive comment, saying something like, oh, good, you're on time. You're moving quickly this morning. And then coming by and just kissing that child on the forehead or something. So that really was a form of comment, label, and reward. The comment being, you're on time. The label being, you're moving quickly, or you're a quick mover this morning. And the reward being that little kiss on the forehead. We also need to use the two times rule with dawdlers. That is, we need to set limits. So we can say to a dawdler, you know, let's say it's a 4 or 5-year-old who's slowly getting dressed. We could say, okay, mummy's going to leave the room, but I'll be back in a moment. And if you haven't got your pants on by then, mummy will have to help you, right? So some of these kids who want to be independent and want to do it their own way at their own time may only have a certain amount of time to do that in. So when you come back, if the kid isn't finished, then you'll say, oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart, mummy has to help you now. And even if the child fusses and, you know, or rants and raves or whatever, the child was forewarned and had a chance to go a little faster and didn't choose it. Same thing with the one who's brushing her hair so slowly. You know, you can say to a child, let's say that's an older child who can tell time, you can say, well, I'll be back at 7:35. And if your hair is not finished being brushed by then, I'll finish it off for you, okay? I'll have to do that because we have to get on to the next step. And so you're teaching the child that there is a structure to the morning. You know, hair brushing has to be done by 7:35. Maybe clothes on had to be done by 7:25. Maybe breakfast has to be finished by 7:55. Maybe coat has to be on by, you know, 8:05, etc. And you can name these times. You can put up a clock that sort of shows these times and talk about these times. And let the child know that you are moving through a structured morning. It's not just, you know, however long you want to take doing whatever you want to do. So same thing when the child is eating the breakfast finally, you know, and dawdling so slowly over it, you'll have to say breakfast ends at 8:05 or whatever time it ends in your house. And then I'll be taking the plate off the table because it's time to get our coats on. So you have your little mini deadlines for the dawdler that gets the dawdler dressed, gets the hair done, gets the food inside, gets the papers organized, gets the coat on, etc. And the child is going to meet those deadlines because you're going to keep setting limits for that child. And basically, when you're firm with that, dawdler kids will learn to fall into the structure on their own eventually. Now, there's another kind of child who's a distracted child. This one is not so much moving slowly, like the dawdler, as is just like gets into everything around him. So he may be starting to get dressed, but then he sees something on the table and starts to fidget with it, or somebody, you know, has a game that they're playing, another kid in the family, whatever, and he goes and looks and see what's going on, or maybe there's some computer on somewhere, whatever. He just can't get his act together because everything interests him. Now, interestingly, with these children, if you give them essential fatty acids, sometimes their brains become more focused, and that would affect them in school as well. So you can try that. It's a little harmless addition to their diet. It's just better nutrition, essential fatty acids. And you can use the clear method like we used with dawdlers, so that when the distracted child is actually getting dressed for a moment, we just pop in there and say, oh, you're getting your clothes on. That's very, what we say, on task of you, you know, that's, and, you know, I have your chocolate milk ready for you downstairs as soon as you get all finished. And the chocolate milk could be a reward, right? Or it's construed as a reward in that it's a pleasant treat that's coming right after you talked about the fact that he was on task. Of course, it doesn't have to be chocolate milk. It can be a hug and a kiss. It could be that you mentioned that you picked up some new game or something that he could play with after school, or it could be that you mention a nice treat that he's going to have in his lunch, or who knows what. You know, be creative. Whatever is pleasant for your child. So we also need, with the distracted child, the two times rule to set those limits so that, you know, we can give attention for when he's on task, but when he hasn't finished something by that deadline that we were talking about before, let's say 7:25 for clothes on or whatever we said, when we come back and see he hasn't got the clothes on, we can say to him, not at 7:25, right? We can say at 7:20, I'll be back in 5 minutes, and if your clothes aren't on by then, now, with a little kid, we could say, I'll have to help you get your clothes on, and then we're going to get moving, if the child didn't want that particularly. But let's say it's an older kid, you know, one who you're not going to dress, an 8 or 9 year old or something, who's just a distracted kid. So then you can say, if your clothes are not on by 7:20, I'm going to come back at 7:25, and sorry. Forgive me for these time things. At 7:20, you're saying to him, if your clothes are not on when I come back in 5 minutes, that is at 7:25, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to wait outside your door while you get them on, but as a consequence for making me waste my few minutes doing that, such and such unpleasant thing will be happening to you. For example, you know, you're going to lose that good snack in your lunch, or you're not having your chocolate milk this morning, or you won't be having that story tonight, or that movie that I promised you, or whatever it was, right? So you'll have to make sure in advance that you have some consequence up your sleeve, because when you have the consequence, you will not have to use irritation or anger or that nagging thing that we don't want to be characterizing the morning. Then we have another group of children who are challenged on sensory issues, so that they have trouble getting dressed or eating foods because things don't feel right to them, or they don't taste right, or they don't look right, or they don't smell right, and they have these issues that would cause some parents to be very upset with them and impatient and argue. Now, the kid doesn't want to have sensory issues. No child does this on purpose, so what we need to do is work with the child. If you know this child has to wear the same clothes day after day after day because they're the only ones that feel right, for example, if it's a small child particularly, you might consider just letting the kid wear those clothes. When the child takes those clothes off at 6 o'clock in the evening, you can wash them at night and have them ready for the next day. And that would be easier while this child is growing up a little bit, because they often grow out of that sensory sensitivity. You know, you don't want to have a fight, or you can't wear that, you wore it yesterday. I mean, the kids in her class are not going to care about this, and the teacher is not going to care, nobody's going to care, so no reason to start the day with a fight and a battle and unpleasant scene, which could be very destructive to the child. Just let her wear what she wants to wear, if possible. Now, there will be days when you can't accommodate the child because what she wants to wear just is not available. It's in the washing machine, or it's in the, you know, laundry basket, just is not ready for her to wear. And she's going to maybe have a meltdown. And for this, you can, you know, use emotional coaching, just a brief acknowledgement of the child's upset. I know it's upsetting, sweetheart. You want to wear those clothes and you can't, you know, period, pause. You know, we'll wear them tomorrow when they're ready. Today we have to wear something else. And the child's crying, and you as a parent can be okay with that. Like, the child is in distress. You can let her be in distress. She doesn't have to stop crying, but what she has to do is get dressed. And if she doesn't get dressed, you can use that 2x rule, right? Give her a few minutes to cry peacefully, and then, you know, add the 2x rule. Say, sweetheart, we don't have any more time for crying now. We have to put on these other clothes, and we have to get going. If you don't stop crying in a few minutes, I'll have to put these clothes on for you, and because I have to do that, such and such negative consequence will happen. Now, you would add a negative consequence if you're going to have an unpleasant dressing the child session, you know, where you're going to have to sort of force her arms and legs into things because she's busy having her tantrum, right? So the punishment is not dressing the kid. The punishment is putting you through misery for through a struggle. So she'll have to receive a punishment for putting you through misery. So it would be something like losing her story later or, you know, other loss of privileges, not going with you away, you know, on some pleasant outing or something like that. So another kind of kid is the child who is disorganized in the morning. So this one is busy running around, but doesn't have his, okay, baby is getting dressed, maybe is, you know, looks ready in a certain way, but doesn't have his papers because he didn't bring his homework home, or he brought his homework home, now he's lost it, or he lost the thing that he wanted to take for show and tell, and he's just running around the house creating chaos. A lot of times parents get very exasperated with this kind of child, very impatient. I told you before, how many times do I have to tell you, put your papers in this thing and blah, 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 lecture, disapproval, criticism, anger, complaint. Again, that's not a pleasant way for the child to start the day. And if you could keep in mind that disorganized children are brain challenged, okay, this is, disorganization is not a bad behavior. You will find, if you have a couple of kids, probably that one is very organized, and that's your child, right? And one is very disorganized, who is also your child. They're both watching you function. They both live in your house. They're both receiving a similar model. And yet one can be so different from the other. That is because the ability to organize things is a genetic inherited characteristic. So in some families, there are some kids who are very disorganized. They're not being badly behaved or careless. They need more help and more guidance, more structure and more patience. And they're suffering also. You know, they hate not being able to find what they want to take for show and tell or whatever it is. They hate losing their papers just as much as you hate it. So they need emotional coaching, like, oh gosh, that's so frustrating. You had it just a minute ago and now you don't know where it is. Oh gosh, that is upsetting. I'll try and help you find it, you know, if you have a moment. Or, I wish I could help you find it, but I'm so busy right now, I can't do that. Oh, sweetheart, I hope you find it. You know, something sympathetic instead of, well, how stupid can you be? You know, and that is not sympathetic. So, you know, do the best you can for showing this child understanding. Again, try the essential fatty acids because sometimes that helps this kind of brain dysfunction. And this child will need more structure from you, organizing those papers in the nighttime beforehand. Even for the older child, where we don't normally have to do that anymore, you may have to do that for this kind of child. Get everything ready, packed at the door, long before the morning arises so that, you know, everything goes well when that time comes. Then we have the kids who can't wake up easily. So those children, you know, they start the day off on the wrong foot with you because you come in and you say good morning and then you go away and you come back and they're not up yet and you go away and you come back and this goes on until you get fed up and start screaming at them. So you don't want that going on. Again, not pleasant way to start the day. These children, you may have to structure their bedtime the night before a little bit more firmly. You may have to get a louder alarm system for them in the morning and teach them how to use it. Better the alarm screaming at them than you. And you may have to give them the 2x rule, the, you know, for if you don't get up by such and such a time, that's okay, I'll come in and wake you up. but that will cost you such and such privilege, or you'll be running out lines. I mean, you can look at the book Raise Your Kids Without Raising Your Voice to see a whole long list of possible consequences that you can use with children, different categories of consequences. But, you know, you have to find some consequence for the child who doesn't wake up. And this particular problem can go well into the teenage years. So you need to be thinking, you know, you need to think this one through. You need to have everything ready in your mind for when that child doesn't wake up in the morning to save you from getting irritated and starting to yell at the child. Because the main task that you have as a parent in the morning is to be pleasant and loving, to set that beautiful tone that we were talking about before, to model self-control, to show patience and love, and to create the kind of atmosphere that you want your kids to be living in and to be enjoying before they start their day outside the house. So you can take a look at each one of your kids and sort of jot down on paper what is their morning challenge, what might be a little morning solution that I can put into that routine that we already have, how can I help them, and how can I help myself, right? Some parents themselves are not morning people, so they may go to bed too late. The parent gets up grumpy and irritable, disorganized, late, and all that stuff, and causes the house to fall apart, or causes the children to have to parent her, which is also not a good scenario. So try to be aware of what's going on and make it come out healthy, happy, and loving in your house.